today together. It's good to see all you guys. I'm going to go ahead and take a minute as well to pray over our girls that are going to be going to camp. There's no better time than the present, and I do pray and remind you to be praying throughout the week. But let's pray for them right now. Dear Father, just pray for Renee and her family and all the other girls that are going to be going to camp. I just pray that your hand would be upon them, you would bless them and open their hearts, Lord, during this time to be able to just really experience your presence. And Lord, for the girls that are not able to go, I think some of them are going to try to meet a little bit through the week as well here at the church. So I pray you'll bless them as well and just open up the heavens, Lord, and may your love be poured out. May your spirit be experienced, Lord, in a very powerful way that changes lives. And Lord, I pray that if any of these girls do not yet truly know you as their Lord and Savior, this would be the time that you might call them and bless them to follow you from this point on. And for those who already know you, I pray that their walk with you would be strengthened. I just pray for a covering over all the camp activities as well, that you would be honored and lifted up and glorified. Pray for safety for all the girls and for the leaders that are out there. And I just pray that their interactions and fellowship would be ones of building them up for many days, many years, for the rest of their lives. And Lord, we just we lift it all up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, guys. We're celebrating freedom today. Happy Independence Day to everybody. I want us to keep an understanding of what our independence is really about. It's not freedom to sin or freedom from God, but it's freedom from sin and freedom to follow God. And that was the greatest desire of the people who originally came to this nation or came to this land to start this nation. And you know, a lot of times we kind of look at the founding fathers as though they were all just secularists and none of them really had a belief in God. But many or even, I think I can accurately say that most of them did very much believe in the God of the Bible. And they desired to see the Bible be our main guidelines for the way that our laws were enacted and everything. And so the further that we get away from that, I think the more trouble we're going to get ourselves in, because sin is a reproach to any nation, and it's going to cause a destruction for sure. But whenever we try to follow the Lord, he will bless us, and he most definitely has. You can look throughout the history of all the nations of the world, and you'll never find one, I don't think, any more blessed than what we have been for over 200 years. And it's incredible. We think of, you know, 200 to 300 years as being such an incredibly long period of time. But it's been a short period of time to see the kind of prosperity that we have enjoyed here. And I think a lot of that was because much of that wealth and much of that prosperity was being shared around the world to try to help other people know about the love of Jesus. And even our nation as a whole oftentimes showed great mercy to other countries of the world, even during times of war, times when we had to fight for what was right and protect others, because that sword is given to government for that purpose. But even during those times, you would see our nation be extremely merciful to other countries, even ones that we were fighting. Times when there would be ceasefires so that they could be allowed to be able to worship God as well, and as God sorted things out between the nations. And so it's very important that we remember our founding, remember what the main desire was for this nation in the first place. And we always want to remember as well that freedom is something that really can only be found truly in Jesus Christ. I know I used to think that it was something completely separate myself as a younger man. And I thought there was freedom and then there was Jesus. And if some desired to follow Jesus, that was their freedom to do that. But what I've found since I've given my heart to Jesus and since I began to follow him is that real freedom is found in Jesus. And it's one of those inalienable rights, one of those that it's given by God that can't be taken away if we really find it in him. And, you know, I want us to know that on the cross, Jesus was actually paying, purchasing our freedom. And when we look at the cross, I want us always to remember, and we're going to kind of go back to that passage we read last week, and we're going to read it again, and we're going to look at some different aspects of it than what we did last week. Last week, we mainly just focused in on the fact that Jesus never said a word in defense of himself to try to escape what he came to do. What he came to do was to pay for our sins. And it was going to take a completely sinless individual to be able to be the payment for other individuals. That's why I can't be your payment, because I've already sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why you can't be my payment, because you've already sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we must all pay for our own sins unless we take on the perfect payment of Christ. And he's the only one who can be that perfect payment, because he was the only one that ever lived a perfect life. And I think that it's interesting that one of the only things he said as he was being led to the cross, while as he was allowing himself to actually go through this process, was whenever he was asked if he was the king of the Jews, he said, "It is as you say." And so today, titled the message, "Jesus, King of the Jews." He not only is King of the Jews, but I want to remind us, he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of everything. Now, the question I'm going to ask that I really want us to reflect on is he really the King of me? Because, you know, ultimately, that's something we need to willingly agree with him on. There is God's sovereignty that he is King of everything. But then there is man's responsibility that we need to willingly agree for him to be our King, the King of our heart. And I tell you, sometimes whenever I look, I think of how easily he rules nature. He rules so many of the activities that goes on in the world each and every day. He even rules the time whenever the deer gives birth. It talks about it in the Bible. Man, I see what a struggle it is for me to surrender my heart to him on certain issues at certain times. And I think, you know, really, I think it comes down to an issue in my heart of trust. Do I really trust him? And you know, as I walk further with him and I'm seeing more evidence of his love and his mercy and his greatness and his power and his patience, I am learning to trust him more. And so I really want to encourage you, trust Jesus more and more. And as we read this, I chose to read it more than 1 week because it is so touching to my heart as I read through the scripture, as he's being nailed to the cross, as he is walking through this process. And I wanted to one more week just really contemplate that even before we take the Lord's Supper today. And so let's look at Mark chapter 15. We're going to read through this a little slower today, but we're going to read a bigger passage from 2 through 25 first, and then we'll kind of take a little break and we're going to look at it a little more fully. So then Pilate asked him, chapter 15, verse 2, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to them, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." Then Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to him, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. That's a very important thing there. You know why oftentimes we don't allow Jesus to be our king? I think it's because we envy that position. We want it for ourselves. And verse 11, "But the chief priest stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them." You know, we've gotten to the point in our own nation these days that we celebrate murderers more than what we celebrate the Lord. We celebrate those who are committing things that are an abomination to God more than what we celebrate the Lord. Dear God, please don't let it be that we've slipped down the same path. Help rescue us, Lord. And as I continue on in the reading, verse 12, Pilate answered and said to them, "Again, what then do you want me to do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" So they cried out, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshiped him. All this while they were mocking. You know, someday those men did eventually stand before him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. I just want to stop there for just a minute. I want you to notice the weakness that Jesus was experiencing in his flesh at that moment, right? He had been beat, he'd been tortured to the point that he couldn't carry his own cross. And so they had this one, Simon a Cyrenian, which would have been one from another nation, probably of dark skin. You know, we talk about all the skin color issue and all that. Guys, I want you to know, our world doesn't have a skin problem, it's got a sin problem. And what's interesting by all this is, you notice how it says that this was Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus? Why would it put that detail in there? Because Simon became saved through all this, and his sons were too. For sure his sons were, because they were listed among the number of the church in later writings. That's why it's mentioning it here. I think that it's so touching to me that even during this horrible process, people were being drawn to Jesus. And they brought him to a place, Golgotha, which is translated the place of a skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he didn't take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." The King of the Jews. Is this how a king should be treated? I think it's interesting that you had individuals who were taking it so lightly that they were actually gambling for his garments. They were gambling to take and to steal from him while he was being humiliated. You know, if they just would have asked him, he would have given them. You know? I mean, like, a relationship with him. But instead, they like, stole his clothes. Isn't it sad that they were missing the moment? You know, I know only God can open a person's eyes to this. I'm here right now, and I want my eyes open to this. That's why we're reading this, is so my eyes, our eyes, will be open, so that we'll see the great price that Jesus paid. Don't try to steal from Jesus things that he wants to give you in the right time. Be willing to wait for him to give it to you in the right time. You know, he's benevolent, he's giving, he is generous. He just wants us to ask and wait on him. And you know, if you'll ask him, he most definitely will give you eternal life. He's promised. He said he won't turn anyone away who comes to him and asks. And that's the most precious gift of all. In fact, through this action, through this suffering that he received, you know, we are the ones who deserve those cross, that cross. But how beautiful was it that he was willing to go, this King of the Jews? You know, that inscription that was on there, it's the only thing he was really guilty of. And it wasn't a crime. It wasn't a sin. But yes, he was King of the Jews. He still is, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And through him, we've been grafted in to the family of God through faith in Christ, only because of what he was willing to do for us. It's so incredible. He was so unlike any other king in the world. Of all these other kings, you know, you can probably name some of them off, Caesar and ones like Caesar. You know, we even read about him in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a great empire, a great kingdom. He had one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Do you know Babylon still does not exist today? That king's mark on society and on mankind was erased. But this king's mark will live forever. He's like unlike any other king. In fact, unlike other kings, most kings would have sent a representative to do their hard things, wouldn't they? They would say, well, here, I'll send an envoy. I'll send some of my representatives. I'll send some of the people to represent me to do that hard thing, to go to war, to do whatever. But this king, he came and did it himself. I want you to remember, every other way in the world that people call these other religions and they say they're equal to Christianity, always lead to the same God, it's just not true. Every other way that you try to find any other than Christianity is people trying to do things to please God, to get closer to him. God in Christ came to us. He literally, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, left his throne in heaven to come and save a bunch of sinners. And the way of salvation was to suffer and to die for us in our place. It was our cross. It was our sin. He felt our temptation even. He unlike any other king, he came himself. And unlike any other king would have maybe tried to dull the pain. If we look in this passage in verse 23 that we just read, they offered him wine mingled with myrrh to drink. Do you know what that was? It was like an artificial painkiller of sorts. And they were offering this to him. It was, you know, discussed in a lot of different commentaries whose idea this might have been, because the Romans were pretty brutal. They didn't care if you had pain or not. In fact, they kind of enjoyed it. But apparently, it was a custom for them, maybe because of the Jewish influence, that there be a little bit of mercy shown to people as they were driving the nails through their hands. And do you see what Jesus did? He refused it. He said, I've come to do the will of my Father. He asked in the garden if there was any other way that cup passed by him. He prayed it three times, but he also ended that prayer each time with, not my will, but your will be done. He was willing to even take the pain for us on behalf of his Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was the love of God that was being displayed. You know, this king was mocked, used, and humiliated for his people. And also by his people. The same people that he was dying for were the same people who were killing him. And we can look at them and say, look how terrible they were. But guys, I'm going to tell you, when we do that, we need to say, look how terrible we are. Because it was my sin that caused him to have to go to that cross. And I'm going to admit it. There have been times in my life where I stole from God or tried to steal from God blessings that he had in store for me to have later. But I didn't want to wait till later. So I stole them, I took them early, and I despised his wanting me to wait. I turned away from him, and I just see that being played out in the way that these individuals were just so crudely dividing up his garments and casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. You know, it's as though they had no idea what they were doing, just like Jesus said in one of the other Gospels, as it's reported. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. In verse 25, now it was the third hour. And again, the way that they kept time, the first hour started at 6 a.m. because that's whenever it basically gets daylight. And so now, by the third hour, that would have been 9 a.m. And that would be the time whenever they would nail him to the cross. And the inscription of his accusation written above him, the King of the Jews. Then with him, they also crucified two robbers. And you remember that Barabbas dude, the bad dude who got let go? You remember he was chained together with two other guys? It says he was a murderer and an insurrectionist. I got a feeling these were his two buddies, because they were all chained together at one point, and then Barabbas was let go. I'm just going to tell you, these guys weren't just thieves and robbers. I think that they were actually murderers, too. And here they had been probably one with Barabbas in this whole situation. And one was on his right and one was on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Now, I think noteworthy in this area of scripture is, he was crucified between these two criminals. He was there between these two criminals. And it's kind of like, you know, he needs to be in the midst of us too, as we are sinners as well. But I want you to always remember what's described in other gospel is that one of those criminals actually repented while on the cross. You know, I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke where he tells him that, behold, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. That man, it confessed him as king. And I believe as his own king. And how amazing that even a robber, even a criminal, even one who's hanging on the cross and can do nothing to save himself, when confessed Christ as king, was saved. It's so amazing whenever I think about the power that was being displayed through this act of love and mercy for all of us. And as we continue on, just looking at this wonderful King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of the Jews, the one like no other king. In verse 29 through 33, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. I just didn't understand, but you know, in 3 days, something very miraculous was going to happen, wasn't it? And likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. So at this point, those thieves were actually reviling against. That means even the one who eventually was saved had the point where he was looking down on Jesus. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land. You know what? Excuse me. This king's death was so tragic that it even altered the natural order of things. This would have been noon. From noon to 3. From noon to 3, it was completely dark in the land. I want us to realize he's a king like no other king. He's a king. He's the king of all things. He's the king of everything. But again, I'm going to ask you, is he the king of your heart? Have you allowed him to have your heart? This was the saddest day. This was the saddest 3 hours in the history of all things, in forever, I would say. But there was darkness over the land for those 3 hours. This king gave up his throne to actually have the wrath of the Father put upon him. And in that ninth hour, at 3 o'clock, he cried out with a loud voice. This would have been the exact time that many of the priests would have been gathering in the temple to do their sacrifice. And we've got Jesus, who is the sacrifice. And you know what? He's crying out with a loud voice, and he's saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Again, we see that this is a quote from Psalm 22. And you know, but here's the thing, guys. He may have felt that that separation, but it was only going to be for a time, because at this moment, he was paying for our sins. He was bearing our sins. He was actually, it was the wrath of his Father that was being poured out on sin right here. And you know, for all those who come to Christ and give their heart to Christ, he has already paid for your sin. But for those who refuse, you're going to have to pay for your sin. We just see how terrible this was. I can only say that it'll be that terrible and more forever for those who don't know Christ. As we read on in verses 35 through 37, some of those who stood by, they heard him saying something, but apparently they didn't really hear it. And then they're saying, look, he's calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and take him down. Again, they knew enough about the scripture to know that Elijah would come before the Christ. And so they were like, they knew something supernatural was happening here, but they were so out of tune with the Spirit at this point that they were having a hard time really understanding fully what was going on. This whole thing of being a sponge full of sour wine, this would have been like wine vinegar. You can read about this again in foreshadow prophecy in Psalm 69. You see throughout the Psalms all these foreshadows of the crucifixion. And again, what they were doing was, this would have been kind of like something to wake him up a little bit, to help him to be more alert at this point, because they were wanting to keep him alive just a little bit longer if they could, and keep him alert a little bit longer to see if somehow or another Elijah was going to show up. And what they didn't know is, in the spirit of Elijah, he had already shown up. John the Baptist was the one who came in the spirit of Elijah. And you know what he preached? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so they were looking for one that had already come, who had already shown up. And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. I want you to see something about that. A loud voice. It wasn't a whisper. It wasn't a man who had been worn out. You remember at one point he couldn't bear his cross because physically he had become so weak. But I want you to know, spiritually, he was still as strong as ever. And what we see in this last proclamation that he breathes out, in another gospel, you'll find that he also said right before this, it is finished. Do you know what that means? It means no other sacrifice needs to be made for sin other than what he did on the cross. It was payment in full. And then he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up his life. He gave it for us. He gave it with full spiritual strength. It was his desire to pay for you and me. How amazing is this, as we see it recorded in verse 37, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He gave up his life while still having full spiritual strength. It was not being forced. It was not against his will to die for us. And does not relinquish the responsibility of those who abused him and those who looked down on him. And it still, to this day, does not relinquish our responsibility to make sure that we put Christ in the right place in our lives as well. But we see that Jesus gave up his life. All things considered, as we look at this, as we ponder this, as we allow this to soak in, I'm just going to ask a question. All things considered, should we not give our life, all of our life and strength to him? He gave it all for us. He laid it down. He Even when they mocked him, even whenever they spat on him, even when they beat him with the rod, even when they scourged him, even when they nailed him to the cross, even when they still stood there and mocked him as he was dying, he never once said, "This ain't worth it." I want to praise God that he did it for me. And I want it to forever change me and make me thankful. Let's pray. Dear Father, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me for the times that in my life where I didn't take Jesus as serious as I should. And I'm sure even now in my human mind, I just can't fathom completely the glory of your wonder and your majesty. God, forgive me for that. But I pray that as you forgive me, you'll help me to better realize how awesome you are, what an amazing love you've had for me all along, how amazingly you love me even before I was saved, even while I was still in my sin, yet then Christ died for me. You didn't save me because I'm good enough. You saved me because of your love for me. You'll never love me anymore either, because you love me completely now, perfectly. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love these that are in this place as well. Thank you that you've brought them here to teach them, to bless them, to strengthen them, and maybe even for some to save them. If there's anybody here that has not committed their heart to Christ as their Lord and Savior, then I pray that right now, this day, they might come and give their heart to you. Come to you, first of all, spiritually, say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I want to repent of my sin today. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the King of my heart." And Lord, maybe they need to come forward and make that public as well. Lord, we just invite all that are being moved by the Spirit of God to submit ourselves to you fully. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. I pray you'll bless us as we even prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper in a little bit. You tell us that we should do that in a right heart. And so, Lord, the right heart is one that's a repentant heart. So help us, Lord, to turn away from our sin and turn to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.